Minority Leader Jim Durkin from Springfield, from down the downstate legislature way, is joining us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And, well, Representative, you got a lot of stuff done here in the waning days here of this session. And let's just click down a list of things there that are by importance. Obviously, you guys are still trying to figure out how the funding is going to work with unemployment and all of that. Where are we on that?
You know, we're still waiting to hear from the federal government. And good afternoon. I'm back in the suburbs. and the budget was predicated upon these the federal government giving more money back to the state of Illinois. The state of Illinois is going to borrow up to $5 billion from the Federal Reserve, and they hope they, meaning the Democrats and the governor, pass that unbalanced budget with the hope that Congress will pass another large-scale funding bill that's going to come back to Illinois. And, you know, it's very imbalanced. It's very skeptical. It's very we're not quite sure. We have the funding levels left at last year. It's one thing to fund unemployment, but it's another thing for somebody who's been laid off because of these executive orders to try to get in and get benefits from the state, and people just are not getting access into it. So,
into that system, you mean?
Into the system with the Department of Employment Security. I'm getting calls and emails every day from people, you know, pleading with me. You know,
man, so. I know. We're getting them here. I mean, it's anytime we talk about it, the phones light up with people frustrated about what to do. I got family members who were in the same situation.
No, it's really sad. It's really
gig working.
Sad.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, what can be done about that?
Well, I asked the governor a month ago when I first, when I first experienced it. You know, this is a problem, and I said you've got to bring in outside consultants. You need to beef up the staff inside the Department of Employment Security, and I got all kinds of statements. Well, some of these people are federal. They've got to be certified by the federal government because you're dealing with people's privacy. And I'm like, oh, for crying out loud, you know, just get the job done. You know, bring people. You know, there's not everybody's at working within state government over the last 2 months. Move some of these employees, some of these other agencies in, if anything, just to pick up the damn calls, because most people can't even get through the hotline. So I believe they've brought in some of these consultants, but, you know, what I'm hearing from people is that it's still not working. I think they're in a better position. But, you know, every day that goes by, I mean, these poor people are, I mean, it's just sad. You know, they're used to a paycheck. They want to work. But the fact is they're out of a job because of executive orders. And the state should have thought about this at the time in which they decided they were going to shut down the hospitality industry and the retail business. And, and that's my point of contention I've had with the governor from the minute. You know, if you're going to do this, you got to make sure that, you know, Department of Employment Security is going to be overwhelmed. Make sure that you know that you can process these claims for these people.
Okay, so Representative, I want to talk about that for just a second, because that's important. There were states, most states had this problem, because they shut down almost immediately. I'm assuming you're not criticizing the idea of the shutdown. As much
no,
as
I
you are,
just, but, I okay. supported it.
All right. Other states had this problem and then were able to adjust to it a little more quickly than we have. It appears now. Again, we're only in Illinois, and we had this massive, especially when you've got the third largest city and the third largest metropolitan area in the country right here. You have a lot of people trying to get into that system all at the same time. So it almost is impossible to predict, but you do have to react to it. And why they haven't been able to react to it in the way that they should still, I think, is a great mystery.
No, it is. And the thing is, if you're the governor and if you're going to make this type of dramatic action, someone should have had the forethought to realize that there's going to be a huge, huge imbalance of the typical claims that are coming in. And I'm not going to say, it's the government. They pay us. And it's not about finding excuses. Got to get the damn thing done. And that's the problem is these people who didn't lose their jobs because they screwed up. They took money out of the cash register. It's because of state action. And you have the employers are the ones who have made those payments day in, weekly, every monthly to the Department of Employment Security for the benefits. And their employees can't even get access to them. So I'm just saying that we could have done that better. We still still haven't been able to. We've got some of the finest and the greatest consulting firms in the world within a half a block of the Thompson Center. This should have been addressed immediately.
I think we do, actually.
We do.
Since you're related to half of them. All right, Jim Durkin is with us. He's a state representative. He's the House Republican leader. Can you hold on for one second? Because I want to go to some of these other issues that you guys passed, including the casino and the you guys gave yourselves a raise. And I have an interesting thought on that.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Oh, they did. Well, you did.
We didn't put any votes on it. The Democrats voted for it. They wrote the
bill. All right, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you why I support that. I know I'm going against type here, but there's a reason I support it, and I think it would be better for government. But we'll explain all that on the other side and take some phone calls yelling at me, Jim, about my position on that. But we will do that at 312-91-7200. Jim Durkin, hold on one second for us. State Representative Jim Durkin is with us. He is the House Republican leader, and down in Springfield, they got a lot of business done over the last couple of days. And this, now they're back. They're back home. That's the most important thing. These guys are out of Spring Patch. We talked about the budget. Let's talk about the Chicago casinos very quickly. That did get passed. And basically what the mayor wanted out of this, she got out of it, right, in terms of the rules so that we can actually get a casino operating company to come in and actually want to invest in Chicago?
It changed the tax rate, made it more, made it easier for them to find an operator that would, or made it possible for them to now find an operator that will run the casino. And the important thing about this Chicago casino, it's not for those gamblers. It's for the, it's a major component of the capital program that we passed last year. And also, monies from the casino are going to be directly, a portion of it will be directly going towards the Chicago Police and Chicago Fire pension funds. And those are really, really underwater, those two pension funds. This is going to be a continuing source of money because this casino, when they open the doors, it's going to be very successful. So this is going to provide some relief for the police and fire in Chicago.
Okay. We don't know where it's going to be yet, though, right? I mean, that's still up in the air. Does what happened down in Springfield where the changes in the rules around it affect the space that it has to inhabit or no?
I think that, no, the legislature's not going to get involved in it. I mean, good God, I mean, we scribble one car funeral. I think it's up to the mayor and her to make a decision and get the blessings of the gaming board. I guess, you know, I think it would be nice to have a sign of that big cowboy, you know, waving people in right across from it where the Thompson Center is. Maybe it'll be a good look, but no, really, I'm not sure where it's going to go. I'm not interested in it. I think it's just let's get the process moving, get it up and going, and let's compete with Indiana and Wisconsin.
Okay. All right. Now, another thing near and dear to my heart, the packaged cocktail sales at restaurants and bars.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, explain what that is.
Well, you can now order from your favorite mixologist at a restaurant. You know, a lot of them have food to go. You can order, you can get a Manhattan, you can get a Singapore Sling, whatever you like, and it will be made, and it will be in a container that will be brought out to your car, and it's simple as that. You can just buy a mixed drink. The margins are very big. Mm-hmm. Big for the restaurants, and this is just something to help them get by over the next few months. So I thought it was an easy vote. The restaurants have not been given a lot of relief, and we're still playing with this whole notion of when they're going to open up again. We've lost so much in the restaurant and hospitality industry, so I wish we did more for them. But if this is going to at least help them a little bit, I'm fine with it.
Okay, and is this temporary?
It'll be temporary. You know, that's a good question. It will be temporary as long as the governor has the reopen Illinois plan until that has been phased out. That's my understanding of it. I think it's good for us to do temporarily, but I don't think it's something we want to do when this virus is completed and it's gone.
Okay. Well, you know, I do. I mean, I hate to the horses out of the barn, but I would say just keep it on and then take it off eventually. You know, you guys just vote it down at some point. Go, yeah, we're going to change the rule on this and see how much resistance you get. Because there are a lot of people who love the idea of this because there's other states that do this, you know, even before COVID, right? I mean, this is not that it's not a usual situation, but there are other places that
have
done this.
There are other places, and, you know, I think that, you know, to help these guys out and think a little creatively, it's as long as it's done in a responsible way where it's not going to be that easy to rip off the top and start drinking it from the right. bar or restaurant on your way home, but you can't stop human behavior. So
right.
We got to give them a chance to at least put some money back into the cash register.
It's pretty easy to go buy a six-pack at 7-Eleven and do the same thing, though, too. I mean, that's up to people's personal
exactly.
responsibility.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And finally, the the legislature gave itself a raise. And what, it's $1,800 a year for the next 2 years, is that right?
Something like that. It's 2.6%. It's crazy because what you have to do under the law of Illinois, you have to vote to reject it. And every year for the last 15 years, we have voted to reject our pay raises, which otherwise are known as COLAs, cost of living adjustments. And this year in the budget, it did not have that language which would reject the cost of living increase. So we did give ourselves a pay raise, and on top of that, we increased our legislative pensions. Now, the comptroller said that she's not going to fund it, but she can't do that because the courts have already settled that you cannot withhold this money if it's been if the General Assembly has allowed for it in the budget. It's been litigated. So the legislature will get a pay raise this year while there's mm-hmm. 1.2 million Illinoisans who are out of jobs, can't get access to benefits, but we gave ourselves a pay raise. So that was the height of audacity.
I'll tell you why I actually support this. And it's not the idea that we're doing in the middle of a pandemic, because I think that, yes, the optics are bad. But it seems in politics, optics are less important than they used to be for some reason, because people either love it or they don't. There's a logic to this. I am sick and tired of the corruption in Illinois politics. And I think one of the things about the corruption in Illinois politics is that if you keep the government class, the elected official class, at a non-competitive pay scale for what they bring to the what they should be bringing to the job, right? You want competence, you want an ability to think your way through these problems, you want an ability to communicate with your own constituents, and you want there are many who I think we know in both local Chicago county and state government may not be the brightest bulbs in the box, and I would like brighter people who actually want to do it and realize that they still want to be able to pay their rent or you know, pay their mortgage, to be able to do that. And I think the lower the pay, the more likely we are to have corruption, the more likely we are to have people who want to get in there, not because of the money that they're going to make as legislators, it's the money they're going to make on the side by arming themselves and helping their friends with whatever they need once they're in Springfield. And you see it every single day. Every single day. So I think an executive wage for legislators, because it really doesn't blow a hole in the budget in any way, shape, or form. It's a rounding error to these budgets in Washington or in Illinois. And you just make sure that, and then you lobby the federal government to, you know, it's a minimum 5-year bid for public corruption. Minimum. And I think that would go a long way, because this state needs some help along those lines.
It does. You know what? This is interesting. It was about 2 months ago, the names of Senator Sandoval and Representative Arroyo were out of everybody's mouth. We've got to clean up Springfield. They didn't touch it down here. We didn't touch it in the 3 days. We passed all kinds of other stuff. We passed, you know, that liquor bill, which, you know, you have, you know, the I forget, it was the cocktail to go program, but we didn't touch ethics. And, you know, but here's the thing, Ro. Even if we were able to change our salary and put it up to congressional and make it a full-time job, it wouldn't stop those bums like Sandoval and Arroyo from doing the same thing. It just wouldn't.
Well, but it might actually put more competent people into the pool to take them on. Because, yep. I mean, you know, you ran for the state legislature. You're a businessman and, you know, yep. on your own. You come from a family of judges and lawyers and business people. You're doing it out of a sense of public service, because it's not a full-time job. People like you in Springfield, I don't know what the exact percentage is, but that are trying to do the right thing. And then there's a percentage of people who are just there to steal. And you know it, and I know it. And that is where the place that we need to find for those particular districts, senatorial districts or representative districts, that's where we have to find a way to try to get those people out, because you need legitimate folks who want to actually do something right to come in. And in order to do that, you know, this is not an easy thing. You got to people don't get how hard it is to have this as a part-time job, because of where you have to go. People are, you know, living, you know, five guys to a room down in Springfield. I mean, it's a weird situation. Unless people are independently wealthy or they've got really high-paying other jobs, it's not easy. And I would like it to be taken more seriously by the people who have a damn job. All right, I got to get a couple phone calls in here. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. Bob, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Bob.
Senator Durkin, thank you for your service.
Sure, thank you.
You know, I understand that, you know, you can go to your favorite and get your, you know, Manhattan or Martini. Mm-hmm. What are you guys doing about the law against having open liquor in the car?
Oh, well, I think that's already the law. So it's a question of enforcement. So I think that people
But it's against the law.
It is against
the
law. But
it's not an open
container.
Is
we made an it's not open. It will be a contained cocktail. It's going to be packaged. It will not be open. That's the key. It's not opened.
So there's a tax seal on it then.
There is. But the fact is, if these guys are going to, someone's going to get cute and they're going to break open the seal and start drinking it, then they're going to get charged with open. And the thing is, if they drink it a little too quick and they get pinched, these guys are subject to DUI. This is not a get out of. You're not exempt from the DUI statute from this.
Right, that's the only thing. It's like getting a packaged beer, essentially, is what it's like. So that would be, I think, the best analogy to it.
Right.
All right, thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. No, great question, though. I mean, I think a lot of people have that question.
Good question. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Let's talk to Herb. You're on WGN. Hi, Herb. Herb. I think
you lost him.
I think we lost him, or he's cocktailing. I don't know. One of my
brothers uses the name Herb once in a while, just to try to throw me off. I don't know that.
Oh, no. All right. Hold on. I cannot see the name of this caller on this particular screen, so I'm just going to go blindly and do the whole Larry King thing. Go, caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Ro? It's Roger.
Hi, Roger.
How you doing? Just a quick question. How many politicians do we have in the state of Illinois, with reps and senators and all these people that represent the taxpayers of Illinois?
Well, in the legislature, it's 118 members of the House and 59 members of the Senate. 59 in the House, 59 and 7 in the Senate.
Okay. Question. Do you guys get paid throughout the year?
Yeah, we get paid. We're salaried throughout the year, correct.
So if you only work 4 days, go in Springfield, work 4 days, you're still getting your whole paycheck, correct?
Correct. That's
correct. People that are not getting paid, you guys are getting your full boat, correct?
Let me
jump in here, Roger.
We're salaried employees, yes.
Yes, Roger, let me jump in here with you for a second. Yeah, this is a full-time job. They're not just when they're in Springfield working. They have their offices here. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's easy for us in the cheap seats to sit out there and go get really mad at them about what they're doing. But they do. They show up for work. I mean, mostly they show up for work. Some don't. And they need to be called out. Making this a full-time real job, I think, is in the best interests of the people of the state of Illinois, because the people of the state of Illinois have been massively underserved and poorly represented by the state legislature and the state Senate and all that for years and years and years and years, and governors who've gone to jail and other public officials who have gone to jail, guys who were keeping shoeboxes of cash because they were going to get rich going into government, and that's the way they did it. And I think if you make this, if you increase the penalty for screwing up and you increase the pay commensurate to what I think an executive would make, or an insurance executive, whatever it would be. So it would be a living wage, because these are people, you want people who are capable of doing this job and are going to be responsible and have the fear of enforcement on the other side. That's my take on it.
Okay.
Well, Roger, you know, then okay, when we're not in Springfield, so I get people walking into my office every day, and I have a staff.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
So it's not as if, you know, we're off the holiday, so to speak. Okay. I'm here 3 out of days a week. I'm downtown. I have an office down there, so I have another job too. And but
you have another job too on top of the one you're getting to pay for from the
tech. That's correct. Yeah, and I work
hard. Well, you're making a lot of money.
You guys want to voluntary? Hold on 1 second.
State of Illinois have to take furlough days, not get paid, only work 2 days a week, but you're going to make your whole boat and make another paycheck.
Roger, the people who were furloughed were through a governor's executive order. And, I can spend an hour to talk about that, but the fact is, I can defend. Yeah, look, the Democrats passed a pay raise for us. I voted against it. But, that was obscene. I mean, it was just, it was horrible.
Bad optics.
Roger, you know what I do at half time? I spend time trying to get people their unemployment benefits. I'm trying to help people get their unemployment benefits because the Department of Employment Security.
Have you ever called the unemployment office?
You can't get through. That's what I have to do. I have to help these people out who cannot get through, and then I have to
call you tomorrow, and you'll take care of me.
What do you need?
Call my number.
I'll take care of you right now. What do you need?
No,
630-325-2028. You got it, Roger?
Sons. Yes, sir.
630-325-2028.
Okie dokie, sir. But you know what I mean?
Thank you, Roger. I got to run for the news here. I appreciate what you're doing.
Thanks, Roger.
Thank you. And thank you, Jim. Appreciate your time, Jim Durkin, who is the minority leader of the House down in Springfield. Good luck to you. And good luck. And I'd like to be a part of that phone call with Roger tomorrow.